Ready to find your next favorite podcast? Start here.
Poetry helped me to process my experiences because I would naturally gravitate towards writing about a particular thing. Sometimes it was stuff that I didn't have the space to say in any conversation or any environment in my life. Poetry gave me that space.
She was loudly talking and she points over at a group of men and asks, "Why don't you dress like them?" And the husband goes, "Well, they're gay. They know how to dress."
Oh God, that's some stereotyping for sure.
Yep.
So it doesn't end there though.
Now the gay men that she pointed to, I guess they surround the husband and actually lift his spirits.
In July and August of that year, race riots broke out in at least 16 cities, from Newark, New Jersey, to Detroit, Michigan, to Portland, Oregon.
But while few may remember it, it was actually Avondale, the largest black neighborhood in Cincinnati at the time, that helped kick off this summer of violence.
On the way today, get set for samples from these three podcasts, Inheritance Tracks, Spectacle, an Unscripted History of Reality TV, and Urban Roots. Welcome to Start Here from Cincinnati Public Radio. I'm Trip Eldridge. Each week, we sample and highlight three podcasts to help you navigate the exploding podcast world and maybe find your next podcast obsession. Plus, get an email summary of each podcast we feature with our weekly Start Here email blast. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and select the Start Here blast email at the bottom of the page. And if you like what you hear, please rate us an Apple Podcast. A 5-star rating will help others find us in the iTunes gallery. With special thanks to Cincinnati Public Radio's Jim Nolan and Kevin Reynolds, and curation, writing, and producing from Connor Eldridge, let's start here. Music tells a story, often a story of experiences, childhood, friends, family. Music often elicits powerful questions with that and fuses our experiences with those questions. The BBC podcast Inheritance Tracks taps into the power, experience, and wisdom of music by asking celebrities to share what songs made an impact on their lives. They share those songs and stories via Inheritance Tracks' short first-person account, all less than 10 minutes long. Here's a sample of Inheritance Tracks featuring George the Poet, whose work has been center stage at the Prince Harry and Meghan Markle wedding, as well as his award-winning poetry podcast, Have You Heard George's Podcast? George started writing poetry and performing it while getting his degree from Cambridge. And his gateway to poetry was rap music. In this clip, George shares meaning and wisdom that came early to him in life from his Inheritance track, And the Beat Goes On by The Whispers.
It ostensibly is just a feel-good tune. And it is a feel-good tune. But the writing is very deep, it's very philosophical, and it's beautiful. This song brings back memories of Ugandan events, birthdays, Christmases, weddings, full of family, full of laughter. And we were just having a lot of fun running around the adults. Yeah, great memories. This song was very popular in my parents' generation, and I really, really love it. The idea that life continues, the earth continues to spin on its axis, and we adapt. There are reflections like, do you ever wonder why to win somebody's got to lose? I might as well get over the blues. Just like fishing in the ocean, there'll always be something new. And you can apply that to so much. My childhood was really happy. My big brother and I had a lot of responsibility over the younger ones. So we had a very strong culture of sharing and working as a team in my family. My home was a very musical place growing up. My parents were always playing music. My big brother is a multi-instrumentalist, self-taught. My brothers and I, as soon as we started being able to control our own music selection, we spent all of our pocket money, all of our Christmas and birthday money on music. We naturally gravitated towards R&B and rap music. So I guess there was an edge to it that was appealing to us. On. Poetry first came into my life via rap because I love rap music so much. I started writing my own rap lyrics, and the more I got into the technique of rapping, the more I realized, it just was poetry. Poetry helped me to process my experiences because I would naturally gravitate towards writing about a particular thing. Sometimes it was stuff that I didn't have the space to say in any conversation or any environment in my life. Poetry gave me that space.
From the podcast Inheritance Tracks, learn what music tells the backstory of some of today's most creative artists on Inheritance Tracks. Available on the Start Here podcast collection from WVXU.org. Reality TV is dismissed as a guilty pleasure, lowbrow, even trash. Still, almost everyone has heard of or watched reality TV stars like Snooki or Lisa Vanderpump or Kim Kardashian. Well, in the new podcast, Spectacle, An Unscripted History of Reality TV, host Mariah Smith takes us on reality TV's 30-year history to show how it's become a place to see social and political moments play out in real time, from racial tensions on The Real World New York to gender dynamics on The Bachelor. Spectacle dissects the history of reality TV genre one show at a time, revealing how it's shaped our culture and how our culture has shaped it. Here's a peek into Spectacle, An Unscripted History of Reality TV, with a sample from the episode Queer Eye, A Masterclass for Male Vulnerability, and how Bravo's Queer Eye for the Straight Guys producers got the idea for the show.
So really, the story starts 2 years before the show got on Bravo in 2001. 9/11 just happened, and this indie film company called Scout Productions was trying to think of new ways to drum up work.
Because no one was flying anywhere for obvious reasons, and it was really hard to get stuff made, so they started thinking about reality TV.
Yeah, so the idea for the show came from a party they went to. So the they in this situation are David Collins and Michael Williams, the founders of Scout Productions. And according to the Huffington Post, they go to this party in Boston. It's artsy.
And from what I understand, they're people watching, and this one couple stands out. It's this woman and her husband.
Yeah, I guess he's kind of disheveled and not exactly well put together.
And she just starts publicly criticizing him.
Yeah, it sounds so cringe, but the way that they tell it, she was loudly talking, and she points over at a group of men and asks, "Why don't you dress like them?" And the husband goes, "Well, they're gay. They know how to dress."
Oh, God, that's some stereotyping for sure.
Yep.
So it doesn't end there, though.
No, the gay men that she pointed to, I guess they surround the husband and actually lift his spirits.
Yeah, they're like, "Hey, this isn't all bad. Let's just do a little here, fix this there."
Watching all this happen, David allegedly turns to Michael and he goes, "That's our show."
And if you don't know the show's premise by now, it's pretty simple. Five gay men make over a straight man. Each one of the Fab Five had their tools of the trade, you could say. Ted was the foodie. Cayenne was the grooming guru. Carson did the fashions. Tom fixed up your home. They'd pluck these straight dudes out of obscurity and into their large black SUV, giving their lives a whole new look. Jay Rodriguez was part of this original Fab Five. He was the culture guy. And although the show did lean into some of the not-so-great stereotypes about gay men, it also shifted a power dynamic. A lot of gay people grew up scared of straight dudes. Maybe they were bullied by bros, or they stayed closeted because they weren't sure if they'd be accepted. Now, they were not only out and proud, they were the ones telling straight dudes what to do.
And here was a show that allowed us the opportunity to kind of haze the guys the way they would haze us, in theory, in school. And so we found a comedic twist, and straight people loved it. Women loved it. We were often repeating what partners had told, you know, their husbands or boyfriends or friends for years. But suddenly a group of gay guys say it, and boom, they're on it, you know?
A sample of Spectacle, An Unscripted History of Reality TV. Learn how art imitates and creates life, and vice versa, with Spectacle, An Unscripted History of Reality TV. Available now on WVXU.org. Look for the Start Here collection from the podcast menu. Local Cincinnati podcast creator Deka Hussein Wetzel and her New York partner Vanessa Quirk were recently featured on Cincinnati Edition with Michael Monks on WVXU. Deka and Vanessa were winners of Artworks Truth and Reconciliation in the Arts grants for their Urban Roots podcast. Urban Roots explores how women, people of color, and marginalized groups contribute to their community's histories. Urban Roots challenges you to go beyond the familiar to see the unheard stories and the rich voices that shaped our communities. Here's a sample from the Urban Roots episode titled Evanston, A Kingdom Divided, and its powerful history in Cincinnati and the nation.
Here's Vita again.
Before the highway came in, Evanston was a very self-sustaining community. It had a lot of professionals here, teachers and social workers and doctors and bankers and such. It even had a bank. It had a pharmacy, a lot of salons, nightclubs for entertainment, little delis, so barbershops, but you still have a few of those. Lots of churches. Oh, my goodness. I think they might have had maybe over 10 churches in this neighborhood.
But of all the churches in Evanston, St. Mark's was the most impressive. It was designed in the early 1900s by the architect Henry J. Schlacks, who founded the architecture school at Notre Dame. St. Mark's Catholic congregation requested that the church resemble two basilicas in Rome, and the Schlacks delivered. They imported building materials from Italy and even made sure that the bricks were a lighter color so that they'd resemble the old stone churches of Rome. The design also featured a 130-foot bell tower, the kind of thing you could totally imagine dotting a Tuscan landscape. In the end, St. Mark's looked amazing and cost about $3.5 million in today's money.
It opened in 1916, and at St. Mark's height in the mid-1950s, over 1,200 families worshiped there regularly.
Fun fact, one of the families who worshiped there was the Kappelhoffs, a.k.a. Doris Day's family. And Doris has actually said that she learned how to sing at St. Mark's.
The future's not ours to see. Que sera, sera. What will be now.
Mr. Stallworth remembers just how busy St. Mark's would be on Sundays.
It was exciting to sit on Sundays and see all these people leave from over there. It was thousands of people looked like would come to service over there. And something was going on all the time over there.
Mary Ward was just a kid at this time, and her first impressions of St. Mark's were more colorful.
So I would always walk past this place and I'd see these ladies in these long dresses. You know, they were kind of scary. I had no idea who they were and what was going on. They were just these people. And in my head, which I must say I had an imagination, I just figured they were like specters who just, you know, protected the property. I did not know what nuns were until I got signed up to go to St. Mark's School.
St. Mark's had a private Catholic school for elementary students, but Mary wasn't Catholic. The reasons her parents signed her up for St. Mark's actually had nothing to do with religion at all.
Why did your parents want you to go from the public school to the Catholic?
For the education. It was because, you know, there's a little thing called redlining that people don't really talk about a lot with education in African-American communities. So, like, you know, you can build us a new school, but then you redline it. Only these people can go.
From Urban Roots, in our local podcast spotlight, creators Deka Hussein Wetzel and Vanessa Clark challenge us to think beyond the familiar and broaden the scope of what we see as urban history to conceptualize what shaped our communities. With Urban Roots, now on the Start Here podcast collection at WVXU.org. Just look for the podcast menu. To the charts we go, our weekly look at the podcasts that are number one or on their way to the top of the Apple Podcast charts as reported by iTunescharts.net. The Seattle megachurch Mars Hill grew from a single building to a worldwide presence as the largest church planting movement in American history. Under the leadership of its charismatic pastor-founder Mark Driscoll, it went from amazing life-transforming work of God to a dangerous, abusive environment riddled with money, scandal, and power. Hosted by Mike Cosper, the rise and fall of Mars Hill is top five on the Apple Podcast charts. To learn more about that podcast and the others we featured today, check out the Start Here email. Just go to wvxu.org/subscribe and choose the Start Here newsletter at the bottom of the page. Thank you for joining us for Start Here, Cincinnati Public Radio's Discovery Podcast. For more about other podcasts we like, check out the Start Here collection at WVXU.org. It's our new specially curated collection of podcasts we think you might enjoy. Plus, check out the local podcast collection, podcasts created right here in Cincinnati by our local creators. And remember, if you've got a podcast or an episode you'd like to recommend, email us at podcast@wvxu.org. I'm Trip Eldridge for Cincinnati Public Radio, and thank you for choosing to start here.